Jahatton Spires, during the season, is one of our regulars. And, Jess, I just want to thank you again for being willing to join us on Saturday afternoons here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Covers the Wild for the Pioneer Press. Jess, you sent out a tweet today that I agree with 110%. This is a beauty. And I want to read it, if you don't mind. To whom it may concern in my neighborhood, unless a child is trapped under a fallen limb, running a chainsaw before 7 a.m. on a Saturday is likely unnecessary.
Seemed a little premature to me. I'll just say that. Yeah. You know,
7 a.m.?
Nice quiet Saturday morning. You know, you got the windows open. It's nice and cool. Great sleeping night. And lo and behold, and again, if it's an emergency, you know, if it's sitting on your car or you know, if something like that. But this is clearly somebody who woke up, saw that there was a tree limb down and said, well, I'm just going to take that out right now. You know, like 7 a.m. It's like, come on. That's something you can do at about 10, right? Don't you think?
Oh, just yeah. Saying. Yeah. Well, we have strict rules on power equipment at our house. I don't know if the law has been laid down. Generally, it needs to be an emergency for me to run any sort of outdoor power equipment on a Sunday, period.
I grew up going to Lake of the Woods. My family has two cabins side by side on Flag Island, just a beautiful place to spend summers. One was our cabin, one was my grandparents' cabin. My father used to joke that the lawnmower, he needed some kind of timer on it, so my grandfather's lawnmower wouldn't start before 9 a.m., because my grandpa was one of those, you know, up bright and early, get the lawnmower going, you know, on a Saturday while everybody else is sleeping. And yeah, I get it. So anyway.
Yeah, but I that one, you know, the early outdoor power equipment on the weekend. And that, now, if the limb was blocking the driveway, or as you pointed out, child was trapped, by all means. But beyond that. Keep the chainsaw in the shed, if you will.
I hope they got their work done. I hope everything worked out okay. Just wasn't the alarm clock I was anticipating on a Saturday.
Now, there's one thing I want to start out with, and I'm always thrilled when someone gets an opportunity in this business. I was thrilled for you when you got the opportunity to become the beat writer at the Pioneer Press and cover the Wild full-time. And by the way, you've done a phenomenal job. Congrats to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think the hockey community lost a great friend, Jesse Pierce, and her children in that terrible fire. Just a tremendous loss. And I couldn't think of a better person to step into that void and cover the Wild for NHL.com. In our friend Heather Rule, and congrats to her for getting that gig.
I sent Heather a text the other day. Congratulated her on the gig, and you know, she's the natural person to take over. And she even admitted, kind of bittersweet, because you know, she got the job, but never the way you want to get the job, to lose Jesse, who was such a bright light in all of our lives. The one thing I told her, in knowing the friendship they had, if Jesse could have picked her own successor, it would have been Heather. And so I think that there's maybe some justice there in the world. But yeah, it still seems so unreal to not have Jesse in our lives. And she was just such a smiling face every day when she came to the rink, and such a bright spot. And just, you know, there's no end to the tragedy of what happened there. So a loss for all of us, really. But congrats to Heather, and Heather will do a great job. I'm looking forward to working alongside her like I did with Jesse all those years.
Yeah, and a regular at the rink, that's for sure. Whether it's the hockey tournaments, you name it, all the way up. She spends a lot of time in the building, knows the game, and good for her. It is quiet at the moment. The Cup's been handed out. I haven't had a chance to visit with you, but what a run by the Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, it just unbelievable how dominant they were.
Absolutely. And, you know, Rod Brind'Amour just it does things his way, always has, as a player, going all the way back to when he was at Michigan State, you know, as an NHL player, winning a cup with Carolina. Really, he's found a home there, you know, so for him to kind of do things his way, put together the team he put together. You know, they made a good trade where they had Mikko Rantanen for a little while last year and then traded him for a young player in Stankoven. You know, that worked out great. They got good goaltending throughout the series. I got to talk about Brandon Bussey. Here's a guy, I watched him play his last college game. They lost to the Gophers. He was at Western Michigan. They lost to Minnesota in a regional final in 2022. You know, kind of a backup goalie for Carolina. Well, Freddie, you know, Anderson is having some struggles during the Stanley Cup Finals. They bring in Brandon Bussey, who nobody has ever heard of before, and he winds up backstopping them to a Stanley Cup. I mean, what a cool story! And they had their Stanley Cup parade this morning in Raleigh, which, you know, just a kind of a fun hockey market, non-traditional, obviously. You know, you don't think hockey in North Carolina, but this is their second Stanley Cup there, their third trip to the final. They get great fans there. They've got an arena that's surrounded by a gigantic parking lot, so it's tailgating city there. Just a fun place, and good for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, and the old Hartford Whalers for the old-timers made the move down there. Long live the Whale. I'll leave it at that. Jess, another storyline in all of this was the Vegas Golden Knights, kind of surprising, emerge out of the West when everyone thought it would be either the Avalanche, the Stars, or the Wild that would emerge and represent the Western Conference in the Stanley Cup Final. Didn't work out that way. Vegas gets there. And then Torts is out anyway.
Yeah. And that's a surprising one. I got to say this. You got to love the fact that Vegas went from being kind of a cool story 9 years ago when they started to now they're almost like the villain. You know, they're the team that nobody wants. Your casual fan is like, yeah, we're sick of Vegas already, you know, and they've kind of embraced that idea almost, you know, like, hey, yeah, let us be the bad guy. We're fine. Their general manager, Kelly McCrimmon, addressed that in their end of the season press conference. He says, yeah, I realize people don't like us. They don't like us because we win, you know, so he's okay with the bad feeling, as long as they're competitive. But you talk about the fact that, you know, Dallas, Minnesota, Colorado, you know, kind of the three teams everybody was talking about in the West and the way the playoffs were structured, you know, Minnesota, Dallas in round one, Minnesota, Colorado in round two, you really saw just how much those series took out of the team that eventually emerged from it, which was Colorado. They just had nothing left in the tank by the time they got to the third round, and good for Vegas for pouncing on the opportunity that was given to them and getting to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, and what about the Torts thing? I mean, what do you make of that? Where it's just one of these guys who's bounced around, does a good job, but kind of wears out his welcome.
You know, it's funny. The next narrative along those lines we're going to be talking about now is Mike Babcock. He's supposedly in the running for the job in Edmonton. Sure. You talk about a guy who has, you know, left chaos in his wake everywhere he's gone. You know, they didn't like him when he was with the Red Wings. They didn't like him when he was with Toronto. You know, then, you know, he's out of hockey for a while. He wore out his welcome real quickly in Columbus, didn't even coach a game there, and players kind of rebelled against the way he was running the team in training camp, and now he's maybe going to get another chance. So I've said this before, Tortorella being one of them. You saw Jim Hiller just get hired in Toronto after getting fired in Los Angeles. Nobody recycles like the NHL. You know, that's how you get a job in this league, is to get fired from another job in this league. Tortorella, I think, is going to be one of those guys that's always going to hang around there. And here's what's scary if you're an NHL coach. You know, the Knights were going to make the playoffs. They were doing fine. 8 games left in the regular season, they fire their coach and they bring in Tortorella, and he takes him to the Stanley Cup final. Now, with that precedent set, man, if you have a bad March, even if you're a coach that's headed for the playoffs, are other GMs going to say, you know what, let's make a late change in the season. Let's bring in a guy who's going to crack the whip, and, you know, Tortorella's style, that he's that disciplinarian, that he's got a certain window of opportunity to get guys playing. Well, you know, I would be afraid if I were an NHL coach that that's going to become more the norm now, these late-in-the-season changes.
Jez Spire is joining us, covers the Wild for the Pioneer Press, and joins on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. All right, on to the Wild. All quiet for now, but we do know this. The Wild put a lot of chips in the middle of the table. They bring in Quinn Hughes, etc. The goal win now for the owner, certainly the general manager, Bill Guerin. I would assume in this offseason they need to continue to be aggressive and add with the idea that, oh, by the way, they're still in a division with the Avalanche and the Stars.
Absolutely. And you look at, like, Utah, you know, maybe emerging now as a team. You look at St. Louis that's rebuilding their coaching staff. They're a team that doesn't want to be out of the playoffs too long. So the Central Division is not getting any easier. And you saw where the Wild's priorities were. The first signing they made, with all of the pending free agents and all that out there, first thing they did was went and wrapped up Michael McCarron to a long-term deal. You know, they really liked what they saw in him. They got him for a second-round pick right at the deadline. He was a big guy, a tough guy, a guy who wins faceoffs, a guy who's not afraid to drop the gloves. They really liked what they saw, and he clearly could have gotten more money, I think, on the free agent market if he would have let it go to July 1st. But he talked about it after signing with the Wild that there's a window here right now. This is a team that they think could win a Stanley Cup within the next couple of years. And, you know, he wanted to be a part of that. So that was something to see. Now, with all of that said, with Michael McCarron wrapped up to a long-term deal, that leaves you wondering, what's the priority on Matt Zuccarello, for example? What's the priority on Vladimir Tarasenko? Some of these guys that are potentially heading to free agency on July 1st, and we haven't seen any movement there. And one thing that's been talked about is the fact that there's still a salary cap in place, even though it's going up. And keep in mind, starting July 1st, you're paying Kirill Kaprizov $17 million a year. Oh. So that maybe limits a little bit of what you can do as far as salaries and retaining other guys. So that's why they pay Bill Guerin a lot of money, is to make those decisions and figure out all the math. And he's got a good team behind him to do all that. It will be a very interesting couple weeks here, I think, with the draft and then with free agency approaching.
Yeah, and here's the big one as well, and Quinn Hughes. And ultimately what they gave up to get Quinn Hughes, we all saw how good he was if you didn't pay a lot of attention to the Vancouver Canucks. You knew how good he was, but we were able to see how good he was and how impactful he was. That's another huge story as well.
Yep, and he has said, you know, he'd be very interested in signing an extension here. You know, there's all this talk that he's going to want to play with his brother Jack eventually. His Jack, of course, with the New Jersey Devils. His brother Luke is there as well. There's a thought, and this is just a theory. We haven't seen it play out yet, but there's a thought that Quinn Hughes could sign an extension here in Minnesota for 2 or 3 years, let's say. Not a long-term deal. I don't see him signing for 8 years here in Minnesota unless they somehow get Jack over here as well, you know, get the family reunion happening in Minnesota. But Jack Hughes becomes a free agent in 3 years. So the thought among a lot of people is Quinn signs a three-year extension here in Minnesota. He gives it a shot to win a Stanley Cup here. And then potentially he and his brother hit the free agent market at the same time 3 years from now, where they can kind of shop themselves around as a package deal, similar to the Parisian Suter deal that we saw back in 2012, where they both said, hey, we want to go to Minnesota. We want to play there. You know, didn't work out the way fans hoped it would ultimately, but that's an intriguing possibility. So I will look forward to seeing, again, what happens on that front as well with Quinn Hughes. He's got another year left, and the Wild can negotiate exclusively with him for the next year. But that's something where I think Bill Guerin's going to want to get that done before they go into training camp or maybe shortly after the start of training camp, like he did last year with Kaprizov.
All right, final quick one. Dylan Larkin and those rumors at this point, wants out of Detroit, wants a trade. That's kind of been the hot one as of late when it comes to the Wild and potentially Larkin joining the club.
Absolutely. And what we're seeing, too, is, you know, it's not just Minnesota. A lot of folks are interested in Dylan Larkin. And the price tag that people are mentioning for this guy is pretty astronomical. So, you know, I'm of the thought, the way Bill Guerin does business, he makes his best offer right away and says, this is what we can offer you. You know, that's what they did with the Quinn Hughes trade. He made one offer. It was his best offer and said, this is what we got. I'm wondering if that hasn't already happened in the case of Dylan Larkin. I don't know that, but knowing Bill Guerin, knowing that he's out there, he might have said, okay, here's what we can offer you, and Detroit is maybe mulling it over, seeing what they can get elsewhere. But the price tag is pretty high for a player like Dylan Larkin. And, you know, I just don't know if the Wild are willing to go, you know, mortgage too much of the future for one player.
Yeah, and they already gave up a ton of that in the Quinn Hughes deal with the Canucks. Jess, always great. Good to visit with you. Hopefully the fish are biting this summer for you.
Absolutely. I get to go up to my cabin on Father's Day. I'm looking forward to that. So, that's what everybody wants in the summer in Minnesota, right? So a little time by the water somewhere.
Yeah, very nice. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Steve. Always great to talk hockey.
All right, there he is, Jez Myers of the Pioneer Press. Good enough to join us here in the summertime here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.